So this is going to be one of those programs where there's a cold opening. No music. No interminable drum loop. No, no intro, no John Fox's voice. Just me starting the program because it's Moran Monday. And starting the program, of course, with my warmest and fondest expressions of old hatred, disgust, for Microsoft. And in particular, their goddamn Windows 10 updates. Had to take one of those yesterday. And this may kind of seems kind of weird, but I try to make sure that I shut down and boot back up the entire studio apparatus at least once a week. Well, I took the Windows 10 update, and it then managed to forget all my sound card settings, all my audio settings. White Rose stream is down, I'm told. It should be back up fairly soon because, yep, damn it. Well, this will only take a minute. It's been one of those days. It's been a couple of those days. And one more step. All right, everything should be going by now. Maybe it is. Okay, so now we're streaming on both of the streams, I think. I hope. Maybe not. Yeah, here's where the problems lie. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's the 18th day of February 2019, and this program is live. And I guess you could say the gremlins started actually during Friday on the front porch, which, for reasons I have never yet been able to sort out, did not record. But huge thanks to our buddy Bob, a member of the Fraternity of Bob, you know who you are, who had a recording of the program, which he was able to send to me, which I was then able to upload to Podbean and to White Rose. And Thank you, Sparky. We hear you now, but you're not on White Rose. Well, that's because the White Rose server does weird things if you have to stop and start the stream. Go figure. But it's been kind of boogerish since then. Managed to get Friday on the front porch up and running. But then the update came along, I took it, and then even as the computer was restarting, it was one of those slow motion things. It's kind of like when your hand's still in the door frame and you see the door swinging shut, or when you recognize the keys are still in the ignition and the door swinging shut and you're going, oh, no, slam. Well, I kind of figured this would happen, and it did. And I have been wrestling with sound card settings and hardware settings and for the better part of a day and a half now. Dr. Bill didn't get to go today, and he had an interview scheduled. And the only thing I have here right now is this microphone, because the microphone operates independently of the playback on the production machine, the Fab machine. And so, eventually, I will find the problem. It's the eventually part that makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits. Regardless, we have thanks to send out. We have thanks to our subscribers to send out for this morning and yesterday and the day before. Thanks very kindly to Charlene, a member of Rocks up in Rogues Island. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to Grace. Thank you, Grace. And thank you very much indeed to our pal Beth in Dallas, who jumped in on the fundraising bandwagon last night to help us get done with the month of February. Let's see here. Thanks as well to our buddy Laborman and to Nancy. Thank you, Nancy, for being a partial sponsor of the program. Thank you to Arthur. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you to Samuel. Those are our 17th of the month subscribers. And then for the 16th of the month, thank you very kindly to Glenn in New York, as well as to our buddy Reinhard on the Virginia coast, and to Timothy. Thank you, Timothy. Thank you very kindly indeed. So now, although I'm somewhat addled, I'll try to filibobster my way through a program, because guess what else doesn't work? Yeah, that's right, Skype. Uh-huh. Picked a bad day to quit sniffing glue. And I think the stress line is also probably down for the count. Don't completely understand why. We can certainly try. And I'll make sure that that's up and running now. Yeah, it shows connected. Tell you what, why don't we just run a test real quick? We'll see if Agnes can get through, see if she can hear me. One never knows. This channel works. Maybe it'll work too. Okay. Agnes, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hello, Bob. Can you hear me?
Oh, glory, hallelujah. You're there. I hear you. You hear me. That means we're not that means we're not completely cut off from the rest of the outside world, and this talk radio program can actually be a talk radio program instead of a 3-hour filibobster.
You know, if everybody realized how much we tech this out and it turns into
shit.
This... Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We love you all. We're trying.
We so are.
Okay. Bye, Bob.
All right. Bye, Agnes.
Go forward.
Yes.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm so happy. At least we've got one phone line. I don't know. Then why doesn't... All right, we're just going to tech this on the fly. Yes, isn't it? Arnold with a note. Cool Southern lady voice. Yes. It could be anything. Irish Dave asking, could it be the super snow moon? Flurries on the Vegas? Strip yesterday. Flurries on the Vegas strip yesterday. Damn Chinese hoaxers. No, wait. Metrics. Yeah, that's the ticket. It's probably the metric system. You're absolutely right. You and my grandmother would be in complete agreement if she weren't so busy being dead. And we're gonna see if we've got, there's just maybe, possibly. Well, isn't that just damn well bizarre? Called party temporarily unavailable. What a waste of time! What a way to screw up a program, huh? Thank you, Mr. Bill. Wanted to know what was wrong. Mr. Bill says hi, Agnes. Okay. Well, that's all screwed up, and that has nothing to do with the update on the other machine. All right, then. You want to play that way? We can play that way. I'm going to restart that one. But at least we've got the stress line. The stress line will be there when we need to discuss morans. What's that? Lee in New York says, a plug got pulled after your start. Headon.lives. No, you're back. Yes. And yeah, I know the tune-in stream isn't working. That's because the tune-in stream picks up the White Rose stream, and the White Rose stream is all screwed up. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene, Connecticut, hearing you fine now. Good. One. One less gremlin. Jesus, I hate gremlins. You know, for pity's sakes, no, we'll just leave it as it. Anyway, so let's get caught up with where we are. We have $936.21 to finish the month of February. If we can do that by Thursday, we will have fundraising free radio Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which will be the last five days of the month. And that will be a lovely, it's my favorite part of the month. So $930, and that works out to be in about $234 each of these 4 days to raise. So thank you in advance. And as an added bonus, I went to go up to the Wiggling Pig today and saw the check engine light on the car. That's always a happy thing. So we really do need to pay all the damn bills. Sorry, I'm kind of scatter-minded, but there's something about sitting here and clicking back and forth, and it makes you feel like a moron in your own right. Not yours, my own right. But God knows we've had plenty of morons to go around over the course of the weekend, and we will not in any wise be hurting for content. And the question is, you know, where to go with it. For starters, the president of the United States, well, the guy who was made president by the operation of an anachronistic constitutional mechanism held over from our days as a repulsive pariah slave nation, he spent the weekend rage-tweeting. Because, for all intents and purposes, he's been caught. He got mad at Saturday Night Live again. Oh, thank you, Keith. Keith's getting it loud and clear on TuneIn. Maybe you're on the FYI stream. I don't know. Well, that's a lovely, lovely, lovely obligatory Star Trek reference, Lee, from the episode of Session. Stand by, Enterprise. Now, energize and detonate. Reset. Energize. All decks, stand by. Shockwaves. Do something. We are, Doctor. Cross-circuiting to A. Got them. A piece of them, anyway. Cross-circuiting to B. Crazy way to travel. Spreading a man's molecules all over the universe. Thank heaven. Mr. Scott, there was no deity involved. It was my cross-circuiting to be that recovered them. Well, then thank pitchforks and pointed ears, as long as it worked, Jim. Precisely. The only problem is we haven't gotten to the as long as it worked part. Oh, well. Anyway, Julius Geezer, having headed off to the omelet bar, no shit, really, after delivering the madness of his speech, on Friday, which we covered on Friday on the front porch, he went to the omelet bar down in Mar-a-Lardass. That was a trending hashtag this weekend. Mar-a-Lardass. He was standing there wearing a pair of khakis that looked like you could fit a city bus in, and a dowdy old sort of off pale oatmeal cardigan sweater, as some poor bastard made him an omelet. And you can bet your ass it wasn't an egg white omelet either. But then by the time Saturday evening rolled around, they brought in Alec Baldwin to do his now, unforgettable Donald Trump impression. And later on, and maybe, and so we got the rage tweets and the, not funny, why is there no retribution for this? Retribution. He used that word. Retribution. Not a chance. No, he didn't want. Some sort of equal time chance to refute. He wanted retribution. You know, retribution is what you do when, say, the dictatorial leader has had his dignity offended, and then goes and finds the person who offended his dignity, and has that person, shot. Tortured, drawn and quartered, that sort of thing. That's retribution. But what maybe got to him more was the Weekend Update sketch in which Colin Jost suggested that he put on that Trump on Friday put on a what did he call it? A 20-minute impression of a cokehead. Which, you might recall, we sort of beat him to the punch on that. All right, okay, wait a minute. First cowbell of the evening goes to Matt in San Francisco. Now, Bob, no fat shaming to a man who's going to kill us all. And this is why the cowbell. Stop telling us what vehicles will fit in his khakis, Bob. Yeah, so you understand why the cowbell, right? Ha! Mm-hmm. And so by Sunday morning, he was done to a tender turn. But Sunday was going to prove no better than Saturday, and quite possibly worse. If you have attempted to turn on the television at all today, to any of the news channels, except maybe Fox News, TV, Radio, Rwanda, and we never go there, because we value not having our brains reduced to thin gray settlings that slosh around inside between our ears, yeah. Because that's what Fox News, TV, Radio, Rwanda does to the human brain. Well, the feces really did hit the oscillating fan blades last night. After a weekend of having his stupid non-emergency emergency, Andrew McCabe sat down with Scott Pelley at CBS News. And therein, he began to lay out the fact that Donald Trump probably is an active, I mean, like this was news to us, probably because we've been out there in front of this for a long time, an active asset of a hostile foreign government. And that hostile foreign government, of course, being, you know, Russia. And this absolutely drove him around the bend. Because with the exception of him being arrested, it seems pretty clear that there's enough evidence out there to support an arrest warrant. Bigly. And so let's say that it didn't sit well with him. Let's say he threw a tantrum. Mm-hmm. Well, so many lies by now disgraced acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe. He was fired for lying, and now his story gets even more deranged. He and Rod Rosenstein, who was hired by Jeff Sessions, another beauty, looked like they were planning a very illegal act and got caught. There's a lot of explaining to do to the millions of people who had just elected a president who they really like and who's done a great job for them with the military, vets, economy, and so much more. This was the illegal and treasonous insurance policy in full action. Mm-hmm. He's busted. He's caught. Of course, he was probably a little bit pissed off at what happened over the weekend with his vice president, Mike Pencilneck Geek. Two things happened there. One, Mike Pence was delivering a prepared address that obviously had an applause pause in it. That's where you think somebody's going to clap for you. And so you've got a note in your text that says, paren, applause. So you know to wait for the ovation to die down. Only there was no ovation. I bring you greetings from President Donald J. Trump. Crickets.
At which point, if I had audio, I could play it, and you would hear Mike Pence say, from the president of Donald J. Trump, crickets, and he gasped. He did. He gasped. How dare they? How dare they not clap for the dear Lord and God Emperor Trump? How dare they? Then, of course, however, something else happened. Angela Merkel, serving out her final round as Chancellor of Germany, gave an address that brought the entire gathering to its feet in a loud and boisterous standing ovation. Three people remained seated. A Chinese diplomat, a Russian diplomat, and Ivanka Trump. It could not have been more obvious whom she really serves. And I mean she, Ivanka, not Xi Jinping. You know, this is going to seem a little bit crazy. That's okay. But I was looking for a particular photo. And I noticed, and it's only been a couple of years, but photos of me and people I care about back, say, 2016 and 2015, which was only 2, 3, 4 years ago, we actually look happier. We look more contented. There's a better light, and I'm not just talking about myself, a lot of people in those photographs. Yep, Arnold points out, we all loved Obama and got stuck with the fake fucking Tea Party. Oh, and now the maggots are having a hissy because, for some reason or another, the Daily Mail in the UK, considered the source, decided to stalk Malia Obama's private Facebook page. And so now there's a lot of zomging going on. Zomg. Zounds. Because she's got a poster, or she's got a photograph on her private Facebook page. I feel kind of icky even talking about this. It's her private Facebook page. And it's a post-it note that says, among other things, this is not normal. Donald Trump is president of the United States. Donald Trump is evil. And that's only because he is. But by the way, that address that Angela Merkel gave included a passage in which she tore into U.S. trade policy, in which she said, in translation, apparently the American Secretary of Trade says German cars are a threat to America's national security. We're proud of our automotive industry, and I think we can be. We're proud of our cars. They're built in the United States of America. South Carolina is one of the largest. It's actually the largest BMW plant. Not in Bavaria. South Carolina is supplying China. So when these cars that, because they're built in South Carolina, are not becoming less threatening, rather than the ones that are being built in Bavaria, are supposed to be a threat to national security of America, it's a bit of a shock to us. And that's where the thunderous applause broke out, and the standing ovation. And that's the point at which the Russian, the Chinese, I presume, diplomat, and Ivanka just sat there. Well, is there something resembling a good thing out of this? Well, yeah, kind of. She had to sit there and hear truth spoken. She was outside of her nasty little Trumpian bubble, that granddaughter of a Klansman and great-granddaughter of a pimp. Yeah, as Hung Like Jesus points out, they skinned his ass on SNL, and then this morning MSNBC had a headline that stayed up for at least 20 minutes that read, "Our president is an idiot." Yeah, that. So, like I said, more in Monday. I would love to have played the Halcon track of our Calliope, but that's another thing that can't happen until I figure out what the is going on here, which hopefully will be sooner rather than later. Ah, thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for letting me know tune in is reaching. I appreciate that. Yeah. Irish Dave wasn't kidding. Snow in Vegas. Then today, again, more audio that I don't have. Sorry. Julius Geezer went to South Florida, where the highest concentration of immigrants from Venezuela reside, and did him some world class, but the man has no class. It was a friendly crowd of mostly Venezuelans and Cubans, and he told the Venezuelan military that if they continue to support the Venezuelan president who was elected by the Venezuelan people, you will find no safe harbor, no easy exit, and no way out. You'll lose everything. Well, under the War Powers Act, he can do a limited amount with the United States military for about 6 weeks, but after that, it requires congressional action. Thus far, it has been made clear that there will be no authorization for use of military force for the purpose of stealing Venezuela's oil. Mm-hmm. Jesus. So, that's, it's been a hell of a weekend. And then there was what he said on Friday about the Nobel Prize. You remember that, right? Prime Minister Abe of Japan gave me the most beautiful copy of a letter that he sent to the people who give out a thing called the Nobel Prize. He said, "I've nominated you, or respectfully on behalf of Japan, I am asking them to give you the Nobel Peace Prize." I said, "Thank you. Many other people feel that way, too. I'll probably never get it, but that's okay." Hey, well, some journalists doing that journalism thing reached out to the government of Japan, and particularly the office of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And the Japanese didn't mince any words. They said, "Well, yeah, Prime Minister Abe did nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize because he asked, his administration asked us to nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize. No biggie. No big deal at all. Happy to help." On Friday, of course, he's a walking adipose wad of hate, bigotry, and insecurity. So, naturally, on Friday, he said,
They gave Obama one. He didn't even know what he got it for. He was there for about 15 seconds, and he got the Nobel Prize. He said, oh, what did I get this for? With me, I probably will never get it.
You know what? I would be more than happy for him to have the Nobel Prize, Publishers Clearinghouse Prize, the Powerball, the Mega Millions, and declare him Queen of the fucking May if he would exit the White House. What do you think? Fair trade? Because I think it's a fair trade. But no, according to the newspaper, the Asahi Shimbun, the U.S. government informally asked Tokyo to nominate Trump after he met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore in June. And Shinzo Abe was acceding to a request. From Washington. Yeah. He's pathetic. He really is a pathetic, pitiable wad of ignorance, hate, bigotry, and insecurity. Maybe daddy didn't love him enough or something. Who knows? But Jesus H. Christ. How pathetic. How truly, earnestly pathetic. In other news, last week we had the story of the white woman in Southern California going off on a Hispanic woman and telling her son, didn't even look human, and saying, we pay $10,000 a year to keep people like you out of La Playa, whatever. And now at a Tempe, oh, I've been there. Yeah. Well, no, it's a chain. It's a small chain. Tampico Restaurante Mexicano in Petersburg, West Virginia. And Irma De Leon said, my daughter captured this situation while working. My poor baby was frightened, but cannot believe this continues to happen. As, yes, a white lady in Petersburg, West Virginia, at the Tampico, might I reemphasize, Mexican restaurant, lost her shit on the manager of the restaurant who was speaking Spanish. She shouts at the manager, you need to speak English. And he said, well, and then he responded in English, well, I'm sorry about you too. Get the fuck out of my country. Damn. And all of this is empowered. We would not see half of this if Donald Trump were not president. Great heavenly days. And there's no reason to. I've been searching for something that vaguely resembles optimism. And the best I can come up with lately is the fact that he's, what, 72, 73 years old? Gonna be 73 years old? And so, even if he builds his stupid wall, and he won't. I mean, they'll fuck up some land. They've sent bulldozers in to destroy, no kidding, a butterfly sanctuary. The court declined to intervene. Literally thousands of farmers are going to have their land stolen from them. But he's going to be 73 this year. He's not in very good shape. And as quick as whatever they build, there is a generation coming. Well, it's like what Robert Frost said. Something there is that doesn't love a wall. Ah, I'm sorry. Me and Ciphering again. Thank you, Darlene in Connecticut. The jackass is 74. Another year older. Another day closer. Mm-hmm. And if we try to judge by, say, the longevity of his ancestors, well, there's Fred Trump, his daddy. Made it into his 90s. And spent the last 10 years of it not even knowing who Fred Trump was. Alzheimer's is a horror. But, well, I find out myself having a hard time getting broken up about the horror of him descending into it. Except for the horror of wondering what he'll do to our country if he still has the reins of power at that point in time. Other than that, no. Because you know that Junior and Eric and Precious Ivanka will slap him into a home before he can say boo. Don't you feel sorry for the people in that nursing home? Yeah, I know. I share your confusion. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm confused. Did I miss something? When did Venezuela do something to endanger the U.S.? Do we own that country? Do we have the right to name their president? And when did we start to give a flying fuck about brown people in South America? Well, it's not the brown people in South America we give a fuck for, Ron. It's the brown people's oil. What's our oil doing under their Venezuela? Oh, we have a correction. Darlene in Connecticut said, sorry, just double-checked. You're right. The jackass will be 73. I thought he was the same age as Robert Mueller, who's 74, and who, by the way, is in way better shape. Yeah. I'm curious. Steve from Georgia Stan just chimed in, and if the Skype line actually works, it would be a beautiful thing. Are you there, Steve? I'll bet you can hear me, but I can't hear you. Damn. Well, sorry about that, Steve. I wish it were not the case. But, you know how I... He was born in 1946. Which is interesting because he, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, I think, were all born in 1946. Two out of three ain't good. Ron in Raleigh continues, what do you think? Do you think Dolt 45 has a morbid fear of death? I think he's terrified of it. because he's never had enough education to be able to say, well, you know, that whole Platonic thing about the unexamined life is not worth living. Well, his has been an entire life not worth the living. All he knows is... okay. I think that's Steve trying to get in again over on the... Hey, Steve, what's up, brother?
Bob, can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, I got you on the stress line.
Yeah, I was just checking in, man. Just troubleshooting, make sure what didn't and what don't. That kind of helps you sort things out, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why I had Agnes call this line, so we know that we've got one phone going.
Well, I missed that. I didn't get the memo. I apologize.
No worries. We just did it early in the program and so that I wouldn't have to, you know, be completely... consume.
I can hear you trying to stay on the Skype. I was muted or something.
But your audio wasn't coming back to me.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
All right, well, let's go get back to your program. Rock on, man.
All right, thanks. Thanks for helping out, Steve. I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Later. Take care.
Like I said, I'm not just saying stuff when I say that... he is an all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia, Stan. But yeah, I'm sure he's absolutely terrified because his life has been miserable, hateful, and meaningless. He's one great big walking existential crisis. If he had enough self-awareness to have one. So there's that. Well, Flavio, it's a damn shame you weren't there at the Tampico in Petersburg. Flavio says, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you speak English as well as a French cow. That's what I would have said, and I would have paid money. I would have bought a ticket to hear that. What is curious is the fact that while the one lady did at least document it, there's nothing in the story to indicate that anyone stood up to the maggot bully, because rest assured, she was a maggot. cowbell for Lee in New York. Trump's age, born June 14th, 1946, age 72, height 6'2", 6'5", with hair, weight, same as Herman Munster, 3 spins. As Lily Munster once explained, he steps on the scale and the needle spins 3 times. Yeah. Uh-huh. So... I mean, we've got every... Oh, God, it just goes on and on and on. There's a ton of crap for us to deal with. One of the creepier ones comes from a tweet a couple of days ago. It was Saturday, and he said... The United States is asking Britain, France, Germany, and other European allies to take back over 800 ISIS fighters that we captured in Syria and put them on trial. The caliphate is ready to fall. The alternative is not a good one, that we will be forced to release them. Forced? Forced? He then went on to say, the U.S. does not want to watch as these ISIS fighters permeate Europe, which is where they are expected to go. We do so much and spend so much. Time for others to step up and do the job that they are so capable of doing. We are pulling back after 100% caliphate victory. You want nuts with your word salad? I mean, I got nothing. So he's threatening our European allies again. because he's an asset of a foreign hostile power. Oh, and his buddy, Roger Stone, he threatened the judge in his case today, or in the last day. Old rat fucking Raj got thrown off Twitter. He's one of the few people who ever has been. And he didn't do nearly as many hateful things on Twitter as Trump does, but, you know, at this point in time, Trump is the only thing probably keeping Twitter alive. So that meant that Roger Stone had to go to Instagram, where he posted and then deleted, but not before a hell of a lot of people saw it, a picture of the Honorable Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who just happens to be the judge in his criminal case. He posted the picture of Judge Amy Berman Jackson. Alongside a set of crosshairs. No, really. Really. And he said the following. Through legal trickery, deep state hitman Robert Mueller has guaranteed that my upcoming show trial is before Judge Amy Berman Jackson, an Obama-appointed judge who dismissed the Benghazi charges against Hillary Clinton and incarcerated Paul Manafort prior to his conviction for any crime. Help me fight for my life. He kept it up there for about an hour. Just long enough to make sure that what he hoped, I suspect, that it would be seen eventually by either Mueller and or Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who, by the way, is such a deep state hitman that she married a Republican. She was appointed, yes, to the bench by Barack Obama. But make no mistake, had she been some sort of wild-eyed liberal, the Senate would not have confirmed her. Yeah. Like I said, it's a mess. A dangerous mess. But there was actually some strategery going on there. Because Stone was trying to get a rise out of Amy Berman Jackson and or Robert Mueller. Because if he should be charged, that the reason that he's being his case is being heard by Amy Berman Jackson is because Amy Berman Jackson is also hearing the other cases that are related, or she has charge of the other warrants and the other charges that are related to the whole WikiLeaks thing in which Roger Stone embroiled himself. Huh? On the other hand, this wouldn't necessarily be related, so another judge would probably have that case assigned to them, him or her, and then Stone's lawyers could say, well, clearly Judge Jackson is biased and yada, 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 so we need to have a new judge and we need to change the venue to South Florida and yada, blah, 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 blah. I don't look for either Bob Mueller or Amy Berman Jackson to take the bait because there's really no need to charge him. If he is convicted at sentencing time, that conduct can be used to depart his sentence upward, to send him to prison for longer. Oh, and now, by the way, Paul Manafort is so pathetic, they're pushing him around in a wheelchair, and he's said to be very depressed. Well, maybe his buddy Roger needs to be his roomie, his bunkmate. Be fine by me, wouldn't it by you? Yeah, what a hell of a weekend. And I have to admit, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm in kind of a funk. This gray, rainy February, it's the shortest month of the year, but it seems like the longest time passing. On the other hand, there are exactly 10 days left in February. My weather app, however, says that we probably won't see the sun for another 7 or 8 days. That wears on a guy. I'm anxious to get out and do a little hiking and you know, not cold slop. And I think cabin fever is a thing. And we have barely scratched the surface. Of what we've got to play with tonight. Uh-oh, I've screwed up. I've gotten a Bob, Bob, Bob. Ron and Raleigh only hauls out the Bob, Bob, Bob when I've completely gone off the rails. Bob, 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 once again you're taking a fine, upstanding Republican out of context. A photo with crosshairs is in no way a veiled death threat. It was just an indication that he, Roger Stone, is being targeted by the evil deep state. Okie dokie. Sure. Yeah, okay. Sparky in the chat room says, I've got cabin fever bad. I completely commiserate. And when you're in a bad mood in the first place, and then Windows 10 comes along and fucks up your entire studio rig, it gets even worse. So, you know, just my apologies. At some point in time, this is going to cause me to have to zero out the board and completely remaster everything. And that's enough to drive a fellow to drink. So, yeah. Lee says, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on TV, but if I was in law enforcement, I would charge Roger Stone for threatening a judge. That charge would go to a different judge. I doubt a judge would take kindly to another judge being threatened. Thoughts? Well, yeah, but it might also conceivably lay the groundwork for a claim that somehow Judge Amy Berman Jackson had been compromised and that she had that she couldn't possibly sit and impartially preside over the trial. I'd just let it lay there. And then, like I said, if he's convicted, use it as one of the factors in which one argues for an upward departure from sentencing and just pile on a few more years. Or hold it in abeyance. You don't have to charge it right now. He does not have to shoot me now. He can take me home and shoot me later. Right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. All right. Somebody's been on the stress line for a very long time. Let's see who it is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. This is Erwin.
Oh, hey, Erwin. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. My weekend was like yours. It was just crazy. There were so many. Everyone has some such a different take on what's going on. It's just nobody's on the same page, it seems. You know, I went today. There were MoveOn.org rallies across the nation, and there wasn't one in Missoula like normal. So I actually organized one. It's 13 degrees, and there was only four of us that showed up, but.
That's four intrepid souls, though.
Yeah, we all were on the same page. And we had two reporters there to talk that interviewed each one of us. So it actually worked out pretty well that way. But they asked us why we were there. And like we all said, there were so many things we couldn't list them all, you know. I emphasize I'm really afraid of what this guy's mental illness is so apparent. And the media is not taking it up or anything. It just really concerns me, you know. The guy has nuclear codes and he's nuts, you know. So, but I don't know.
Well, that's the 25th Amendment discussion. He was also out there rage tweeting this weekend about the fact that someone dared talk about him in the context of the 25th Amendment. And the fact, you know, right. the idea that they felt like I read a follow up and they said they were trying to count on, you know, who the real patriotic Americans were in the cabinet. And we played that game right here on this program. Figuring out how the statute works, what you'd have to do. And, of course, Mike Pence, who, just as Shakespeare said of Cassius, has a lean and hungry look. Well, Mike Pence, he naturally came out and said, well, I'm Indiana outraged at this. I can't believe somebody at the FBI would do something like that. Goodness me, gracious sakes alive, oh, mother, bring me my smelling salts. But he's the one who would begin the process by signing the letter. And don't you think for one minute that if he felt like he could pull it off, he'd sign that letter in a heartbeat.
Yes, he would. To lead us to theocracy. Yeah, that's what he wants. So.
Yeah.
We got the worst people in the world in Washington right now running things. It's just, it's amazing how you could get such bad people all together in one group like we have now. It's just so
well,
sad.
But they've been there all along. I mean, how many of these people are Nixonian and Reagan and Bush retreads? I mean, for God's sakes, you've got Elliot Abrams Elliot Abrams down there licking his fangs, waiting for the raping and the pillaging and the murdering to start in Venezuela.
Yeah. And then what's his name? Bolton. He's a crackpot too. I mean,
oh, he was the warm-up act in Florida today.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he was. I didn't listen to him, but I happened to see him standing there. Blathering away at the crowd of Cubans and Venezuelans.
Yeah. Well, were they applauding or wanting to overthrow Venezuela?
This crowd was hand selected specifically for that purpose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's like all of this crowd. It's terrifying. And then we got Iran going on at the same time. And
well, that's the ultimate goal, I think, Irwin. We start with Venezuela, and then we sort of sidestep to Iran.
Right.
And I remember, among other things, the speech that no one clapped for from Pence. Had to do with calling on Europe to be as stupid as the Trump administration is, and get out of the Iran agreement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I hear people talking about Iran, and nobody ever mentions their oil, and that's got to be a factor in all this, don't you think?
Oh, sure.
It's just never mentioned by anybody.
Well, it's kind of an attenuated situation, but I see it this way. If we were to somehow topple the Iranian government, the puppet that went in would be a Saudi puppet. And so the Saudis could then control the Iranian oil as well as their own, with a nod and a nudge and a wink from the United States. And based on how the Saudis have treated Yemen, you got to think it would be no better for the Iranians. But the problem is, the Saudis are for the most part chicken shits. They've got a bunch of American military hardware, aircraft, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to putting boots on the ground and actually marching with a gun in your hand and getting shot at, the Saudis would probably get downright Romulan, and all you'd see of them were assholes and elbows going the other direction.
Right. Yeah. And the Iranians, they're not pushovers either, are they?
We armed Saddam Hussein to the teeth when he started a war with Iran that claimed millions upon millions of lives, that involved him using poison gas on Iran. And he couldn't beat them. They handed him all he wanted, and then some.
Yeah. I was listening to a fellow the other night about Iran, and he was talking basically about how corrupt they are. They're religious theocracy, but they're corrupt, and the people out in the rural areas that have been supporting them are dropping them right now and everything. So they're kind of precarious situation anyway, with economically, but still, they make money, and none of the money goes down. So, unfortunately, they're kind of like us in a way. I see some parallels in that we have a rural population that kind of props up our administration too. I don't know. I'm probably going out on a limb saying that. I don't know.
Our rural population, what you mean is the maggots, right, Irwin?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just so frustrated, concerned. I'm like you, I'm thinking about drinking again, and I don't want to do that, but it's crazy. But I was so disappointed that, I expected maybe 20 people to show up, not three, when I went there today. It's just people are so busy with their lives, and they don't pay attention, or they're not watching the right things, listening to the right things, or whatever. It's just, I don't know, it's just really frustrating to me that.
Well, it is, but it's February in Montana, Irwin. I mean, yeah, come on. And 13 degrees will keep a shit ton of people inside and not out.
Yeah, that's
now true. On the other hand, if you had included on the flyer, free barbecue or something like that, and I mean, I'm not joking. This isn't an attempt to get into the food porn portion of the program. People will turn out for that. It's One of the oldest political traditions in this country is the barbecue, the political barbecue. There's a great scene in Robert Penn Warren's All the King's Men where he talks about Willie Stark going out to a political barbecue, and how the folks came from miles around to eat free pork and listen to stump speeches. And the so-called ox roast.
Okay.
Also comes from the same tradition. So maybe next time, a little warmer weather, and offer them some barbecue.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If I get involved, the word is that one of the women here that's been kind of the fire rod for the activist program here is moving away. So everything has kind of died down here. So this is supposed to be the blue part of Montana, so it's disappointing to me. But yeah, I guess that's the way it goes. But
well, how I mean, Missoula has the University of Montana in it. Usually, institutions of higher learning are supposed to usually have some quantum of liberalism to them, just by virtue of being colleges. Is there any of that dynamic there at the university?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's. I see that the college people kind of stay together with the college people, and the people not involved with the college, they don't really interact that much together. If that makes any sense, there's just a lot of different groups.
Yeah, the town and gown phenomenon.
Right. Yeah.
The locals who live there sit around and carp about the college kids, but meanwhile the college kids are why the town exists.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just like. I went to school in Bozeman, which is about 200 miles from here, and it was the same way there, too. They hated the college kids, but it wouldn't exist without them, you know, at the time. But this is the liberal college, too. It's the law schools here, and this is, like, my brother got a master's here in history. And so, you know, it's a liberal arts college, so it's always has been a liberal place, but it still has its share of maggots, like you say. There's still a few of them around too, but I guess that's the way it is everywhere. So, is my bird bothering you? I probably should get off. He's going nuts for some reason.
No, I can barely tell he's there.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, I was just wondering. That was bothering. I'll probably let you go. I just had a few things I had to get off my chest.
Oh yeah, and by the way, yeah. I love the bird's eye view postcard of Missoula that you emailed. That was neat.
Yeah, that's. I always like to look at postcards. It's one old thing I like to do, and so yeah, it's a good one of right where I live. So. It's a lot different color right now. It's very white right now. But otherwise, it's the same.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Oh, you have a great evening, Erwin. Bye now.
You too. Bye now.
Okay. Well, that phone call came through, and then it didn't. No. Well, okay, let's try again. All right, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's Scott in San Diego.
Oh, hey, Scott. What's up?
Thank you for calling. Low budget, limited budget, Progressive Talk Radio Hotline Tech Line. please listen to our entire menu because some of our options have changed.
I think that's the biggest lie in phone scam marketing. Some of our options have changed.
Yeah, I know. Nothing changes. When I first moved here to San Diego, many moons, coming up on 20 years ago, for a brief time, I worked for a large company, a telecommunications company, in the telephone tech support office, initially with their phone service customers, but later with their cable TV service customers. And I'm telling you, some of the calls, you think some of the calls you get or have gotten are askew, okay? There's no other place in the world than being on the other end of a tech support phone number. The only other thing that was more difficult that I had years and years ago was doing cold calling to set up appointments for hearing tests. For
Jesus,
older.
That's something they do to you when you die and go to hell.
Oh, no, I was just going to say.
Calling the hearing impaired to try to set them up with it. I don't
know. For a free, a complimentary hearing exam. Jesus. I don't know. At that point, I must have been paying off some really horrendous karma from several lifetimes ago to have landed there. But anyway, the reason I bring the whole sorry situation up, in the training for the tech support job, what they would do is they would, in training, they would put two prospective employees back to back, and one would be the caller, one would be the tech support person, and the tech support person would have a bunch of, what was that child's toy that had wooden parts and you would, Tinker Toys. They would have a Tinker Toy, a set of pieces from Tinker Toys. And the caller, the person playing the caller, would describe a visual on a piece of paper that they had, but that I couldn't see. And based on what they were telling me the picture was, I had to put together something that represented what they were describing.
Well, that's just meanness.
But I got to be very good at deciphering what they were describing, knowing how it was supposed to work, and somehow sorting it out for them. I did get to get, but anyway, that's what I'm thinking needs to happen with your chain in your audio setup and your studio setup. I know that there's a solution to it.
Oh, there is. And the funny thing was, the last time we did it, the last time this happened,
yeah,
it was some sort of healing hands of faith where it just resolved itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I scrapped with it for a solid week. And
now, this isn't a case where you've kicked something under the console again.
No. In fact, I checked the thing that I kick.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that appears to be all good.
Oh, man. I'll bet you it's like you said, it's probably related to these stupid Windows automatic updates.
Oh, I know for a fact. Well, it is. I mean, welcome to Tech Talk with Bob and Scott.
It's useful. People may be able to use this.
No, the for some reason or another, the really, really highfalutin sound card, when our buddy Frank made it possible for me to build the Fab Machine, we put the best of everything in it. Because we knew it was going to have to last another 10 years or so or more. And so we went back and forth over sound cards and found the one that looked like it had the greatest potential. And for some reason or another, and, you know, while I delivered a critique of Microsoft for their update system, the fact of the matter is there's something squirrely in the driver for the sound card. So that from time to time, if you restart the computer, it will forget the sound card. And so you have to go stumbling and bumbling around through the sound settings until you find it again, and then you'll find out that it's not even there, like it's not installed. And so the fix for that is to shut the computer down, turn the power off, pull the power from it, and let it be stark, stone, dead, powerless for a minute or so, plug it back in, turn the power supply back on, wait, turn the computer on, and then it sees it again. This is exactly what happened this weekend. But then there was the added stupidity of it not seeing or of it inserting. I mean, do you hear that?
Do it again.
Well, I don't want to hurt people. It's really high-pitched feedback.
Oh, okay. All right, never mind. Go ahead.
And
I'm whipped. I got nothing. So
God, I hate that. I hate that when the machines get snarky with us. And there's no good reason for it. It serves no purpose other than to set you crazy when this happens, because it's not like there's a warning. I don't know. I'm fortunate, even though there are rarely problems of not of this magnitude, but just little ones. That
well, I mean, you want to hear how stupid it is? I just opened the Sound Blaster interface and clicked a couple of things that had reverted to.
Yeah.
And so now I bring up the audio from the computer and I got this.
I don't hear it. Oh, a hiss.
Well, it's a hiss and it's an oscillating cycle of some sort.
Oh, the dreaded oscillating cycle hiss. I'd run if I were you. That's usually a sign that you're getting low in the countdown of devices.
And now there's this. See if you hear the sound, like the little bubble popping sound.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely.
That's new. I've never had the popping bubble sound before.
Well, you know what that is. That's Lawrence Welk's champagne music bubble machine gone completely awry. Play it again. I could dance to that.
Let's see. Now, no, we don't want that.
We were always trained to ask, well, does it hurt when you do that?
Yeah.
And then they would say yes. And then we were trained to say, well, stop doing that. And that would lighten the tension. Because the callers would get very upset that there wasn't some magic switch that they could throw that would fix everything, you know?
Right.
That's why I got out of that racket. I couldn't deal with the stress of it, you know? I mean, certain types of stress I can dance with day and night. But when you layer in the irretrievably stupid factor... And I don't mean...
Well, I think we can give people a laugh, Scott, because if it's behaving the way it was behaving, this should be a real hoot.
Mm-hmm.
You dick!
Wait, what?
I'm so wasted!
Hold on
I'm hearing some.
Wait.
What happened?
Wait a minute.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Somebody should call on Skype and see if that works.
Let me holler for the boss real quick.
All right.
The boss is going to check the Skype line now.
Yeah, I just heard a thing go pop.
Yeah, that was me taking down the playback pod.
Oh, okay. Right. I would love to see the schematic of your.
Oh no, you wouldn't. It's like an acid nightmare.
Oh no, that's why I would love it. I mean,
hold on. Let's bring Agnes in. Dearest, are you there? Not you, Scott. Nope, sorry. She hears us. I don't hear her.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
But we've made progress. So this means that somewhere or another I've got a... that I probably really have screwed up a cord somewhere, because I was crawling around under the desk. Yeah, don't ask.
I want pictures. This is why you need video in the studio. Of course, now... When snafus occur, you wouldn't be able to send it out to us. But it's nice to know that there is video somewhere up here.
Well, it's a relatively tiny little room. I'd say it's about 8 feet by, 12, 14. And
It's got 15 years worth of, well, the late great Peter Godbold used to refer to Peter's House for Wayward Hardware.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, we've got one now. There's hardware from 15 years worth of doing this that, you know, you can't just throw it away and it might be useful someday. And
yeah. But what we need to do is somehow or another get you state-of-the-art set up. There's no reason why trash-talking, crazy-thinking, right-wing radio should have stellar equipment. I mean, just a superb setup for the crap that they send out through the pipe. You know? It just ain't fair, Bob. It ain't fair.
It ain't. It sure ain't. So, what a mess. Oh, I got to send some thanks out. Thanks to Steve and Miss Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. We are now down to $926.21 to finish February and to finish the week and do whatever it is I'm going to have to do to turn the fucking check engine light off on my car. God damn it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
When did that crop up?
This afternoon. It was baked steak and mashed potatoes day up at the Wiggling Pig. Mm-hmm. So I got in the car to go up there and get my baked steak and mashed potatoes. And there's the check engine light, which never comes on for a happy reason. It's kind of like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer wanted to buy an RV. And they ran his credit and a siren went off. And he said, "Is that a good siren?" And the salesman responded, "Homer, have you ever heard a good siren?" No. So there's no good check engine light. No.
Well, but when I had a car that would come on, I would stop the car, I would get out, I'd walk around, pop the hood, look it under. Well, yeah, it's there, all right. Put the hood back down, get back in the car, and drive off. This is why I was not a responsible car owner. But sirens, I'll leave on this note, because I'm sure somebody else has got an idea. The other day, there was something on the news that the New York City wants to change the sirens in their emergency vehicles to a European sound siren. If you know,
yeah,
but that led to a question that I've always wondered about. In the movies or TV, when you hear one of those European sirens going by, at some point the pitch changes in the sound of the siren.
The Doppler. That's the Doppler effect.
The what?
The Doppler effect.
What does that mean? I've often wondered.
It's the audio phenomenon that helped Einstein come up with his notion of general relativity.
Really?
Yeah. And he noticed it with a train whistle.
Huh.
By the way, Arnold was sending tech support along as well. He said, audio chains break on update. Maybe I can team viewer it tomorrow. And he said, if feedback is happening, one audio source is set to listen to itself. Yeah. But then we had what happened, you know, because I was going to play you the U Dick and it was going to be all reverby and stuff. And then it wasn't. And Arnold simply texted, "Ha ha, I fixed it with my mind."
Well, have you gotten to the
force is the force is strong with that one.
Yeah. Mr. Watson, come here. I want you. I've always wanted you.
I need you.
Yeah.
Bring flowers and chocolates.
I just don't know, Bob. Technology may be the death of us. It may be
Well, that, now I'm bedeviled as to why Skype is behaving like it is. It may be time to go buy a new wire or something.
Oh, God, I bet you've got a bag or a box with patch cords.
Yes.
You could buy a new board if you took all of the copper wiring and took it to recycling. The copper used to be selling at a high rate, a high price.
Over the course of the 15 years we've been on the air, within feet of me are five dead computers. 3, 4, 5. And they've all got one thing or another wrong with them. They're all 32-bit systems, so they're essentially useless in the modern world. But, you know, again, it would be wrong to just throw them away. Because maybe, you know, I mean, they're not much good to me, but if I take one down, figure out what's wrong, I could, maybe put Linux on it or something, since it doesn't cost anything, and give it to my grandkids.
Yeah.
By the way, I got a cowbell for Arthur. Stop having intermittent audio technical difficulties, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob. We know what the repeating popping sound is. That's Agnes firing up her triple bubbler ice cooled 30-inch Ruhr water pipe and water pipe accessories.
That's Jim's. It wasn't a Jim in West Virginia who had the.
Jim's homemade bong with the stirrups and the aquarium pump. Yes.
That's. name that mystery sound. Jeez. Well, I'm going to let you go, Bob, because I probably told you enough to make the problem worse, and I didn't. That wasn't the intention of the call.
No, but you know, we solved it together, because I was going to be a smartass and play audio for you so you could hear the lovely reverb, and then it didn't. It's a whole different program now.
Well, yeah, audio is back. That's good. But see, I worry about Skype because Skype is an iffy proposition to begin with.
Oh, to say the least. And the Microsoft has made it ever so much better. Our buddy Otto must have missed the early part of the program where I was damning Microsoft because he said a rule of thumb for a computer that doesn't. Well, never mind. It's just a upgrade to Windows 10. It's a good operating system. That is, for Windows. I did tech support, and yes, Scott is right. It's stressful. This is a Windows 10 machine. I still say that probably Windows XP was the best manifestation of that operating system they ever had. Simple, easy to use, and for nerds like me who have to fool with sound, it had the best, most easily adjustable, wide variety of adjustments audio mixer that they've ever had, and they've stupided their audio interface down through Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows Vista, Windows 9, and now Windows 10.
Yeah.
And it's just a mess.
Well, I'm a fortunate soul in that ever since 1984, I've never not owned a Mac of some sort. And I know people say, well, they're overpriced and they use labor that's iffy, if not downright bad. But the thing that I like about them is
they work.
There's very rarely an issue. Very rarely. And if there is an issue, you can Google around and find someone else who's had the same issue. Who has gone on to find
well, and I have a MacBook Pro that helps me run this audio, this mix desk.
Yeah.
And, it's just, like you said, tech support for the financially dire straits liberal broadcast community. Our buddy Randy in PA was telling me a few weeks ago that, because he knows what model it is, that my model year of my MacBook Pro is about to be orphaned. So, hot damn.
I hate when that happens.
Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, put Linux on the obsolete PCs and give them to your grandkids? Why do you hate your grandkids, Bob? And this will occasion a bunch of hate mail for sent to me, directed to Asa, talking about how Linux is the awesomest operating system ever in the world. The Apple folks will then chime in and say, no, it's not, Apple is. And the PC people will say, well, you know, because Windows works pretty good. That's usually how it works. So, you know, I can't wait.
Well, I was trying to think as we were recounting the issues that pop up on your end, the tech issues. The last time, and it's been fairly recent, but I've had an issue that bedevils me, is you've heard of, there's a free program called Audacity, where you can record audio.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I watched one evening as my dear friend Rick Smith got burnt by Audacity. Because with Audacity, once it's gone, it's gone.
Well, for a long time, you had to, on my Mac, if you wanted to record something, you had to change a couple of audio settings within the machine. And then something happened where all you had to do was click one thing and play whatever you were playing, hit record, and it would record. You'd stop it and then edit it to your heart's delight. And I guess with this last system upgrade on the Apple, something has changed. And now I need to find a time when I can sit down and focus long enough to figure out what that is. And it is bedeviling. The only difference between my situation and yours, well, there are many differences between my situation.
Let me count the ways, yes.
But the main difference is when
you're warm. You're warm and dry in San Diego. It's soggy and cold here. We can start with that.
No.
You've probably seen the sun in the last 24 hours. I haven't seen it in the last 72.
No, I wasn't even going to go there, Bob. The main issue is...
You haven't gone after your freezer with a baseball bat. I have.
When you have to dance with these things, the whole world has the capacity to know it. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a thing. Oh, one more thing and then I'll go. You're talking about the Middle East and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Iraq and all that. There is the people who have Amazon Prime really do, even if they've seen it before, because it was on like 20 years ago, so some of the information is dated. There was a multi-part, maybe 5 or 6 part documentary on PBS about 20 years ago, narrated by Donald Sutherland, The Prize, An Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power. It really does give a good history of that region where all the oil is and the different large countries and companies who over the years have fucked over the natives of those lands for their minerals, fucked them over to a fare-thee-well. And it really does give a basic overview of how we got to be where we were 20 years ago. And I wish they'd update it with new chapters, because there's still fucking of people going on, but now it's in the form of states and communities and cities, and not cities, but areas in this country where people are getting fucked over to a fare-thee-well with fracking or with other...
Oh, we know a little bit about that here.
Oh, I know. I know you know. But and the book is even better that the documentary series is based upon. But it's a fucking 1,200 page books doorstop, you know. It's worthwhile. Anybody with Amazon, check it out. The prize, an epic quest for oil, money, and power. I didn't have a real clear understanding of the lay of the land in the Middle East. I mean, I had a broad sense of it, but I hadn't realized what bad guys we really were. And when I say we, I mean America and Britain and the Dutch, you know.
Don't leave out the Belgians.
Yeah, the Belgians. Okay, yeah.
I mean, you realize had Adolf Hitler and Stalin not come along, the biggest monster of the 20th century would have been King Leopold of Belgium.
Yeah.
Well, sure. The 19th and 20th centuries.
Yeah. Yeah. They're you know, today's world has nothing on previous versions of today's world. There have always been opportunistic monsters and people willing to subsidize their efforts for their own financial benefit. This is what's the most frightening thing that I'm seeing, is that, you know, in Europe and other countries besides, there are rightward moves in national governments, which ought to, I mean, anybody who knows even a little bit of history, you know, should know that that's always a sign of some bad shit about to come down, you know? So I just...
I know.
And yes, I wish they would carry Trump off in a special jacket with sleeves way too long that buckle in the back. And I'm not thrilled with Pence standing at the side of the stage waiting in the wings. But I don't know. Now I'm frustrated. I was in a pretty good mood when I called.
Well, that's me, Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine.
Yeah, well. Well, I will be sending out positive energy to you and your devices. May they all.
I'll take all I can get. Hang in there, Scott.
I will, Bob. You too. It's only technology. Fear not.
Hey, look, you helped fix the problem. So I don't know how.
Well,
I was doing the same. And see, this is what makes it so goddamn devilish, is that I didn't do anything I hadn't done last night or all day yesterday.
Isn't it funny how that works? Maybe it's the presence of someone else, and you were probably doing it while I was speaking. So you had part of your attention going to my speaking and part of your attention going to the task at hand. And somehow the best of both combined for a good outcome.
All I know is that part works, and now if I can just sort out Skype, we'll be back to, you know, that vague conception of normal that obtains around here and would be sheer terror and chaos for anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot I don't know a lot of broadcasters that would be willing to work this way.
And that's the joy of this program. We have something that hardly anybody else has.
Hear, hear. Scott, have yourself a good... by the way, I have to tell you. Before you go, you might want to check into this. I had a communication from Brother Deacon Asa.
Yeah.
Who has recommended to me... Nescafe Rich Decaf Coffee Crystals.
Hmm.
And he said, 2 teaspoons of this with some hot water and full cream is heavenly, especially on a grim Sunday evening.
I'll have to look for that.
So you might have to check it out.
I've been looking for a good decaf for a night. Oh, one more thing about beverages. And this blew me away. The other day, longtime listeners will know of my eternal quest for Diet Right soda.
Yes.
In a 2-liter bottle.
I think of you every time. Well, every time I walk past the half-liter bottles or whatever, you know, the pint bottles,
mm-hmm.
I think of you because, you know, I can have all I want here.
Well, apparently, Diet Coke has switched over to Splenda as their sweetener.
Really?
Yeah, in the cans. I don't know if they're going to roll it out in the 2-liter yet, but I saw it in the store the other day in the cans. I hope they come out with a diet caffeine-free version with Splenda and in 2-liter bottles, and then I'll be happier again. These cans are kicking my ass, Bob, these Diet Right in cans, because every so often I've got to crush them up and cart them down to the recycling joint. And, yeah, it's an extra $5 or $10, you know, but it's a hassle. You know, while you're building up enough of them to justify the trip. Oh, these problems of modern technology. My great great four mothers and six fathers or whatever would slap me right upside my head to hear me talk about my problems in modern America. They would just kick my ass around.
Well, you know, I like to think of it as San Diego's answer to Quest for Fire.
Well, man, you may be right. I don't know. Well, anyway, I hate long goodbyes, as do you. And I know Jim does. He got so perturbed the other day at my long goodbyes. But I think of stuff, or you think of stuff. And, you know, it's like parting is such sweet sorrow.
Indeed.
All right, Bob.
All right. Take care, Scott. Later.
You too.
Bye now. Well, I don't know how it happened, but it at least we got it's working. Go figure. So the stress line's open if you want to jump in for some conversation. Monique said, I can't tell you how much seeing Pence get the silent treatment gave me joy. By the way, where's Sessions the Turd? Oh, he's back down on the plantation. Thinking about the Halcon days when he thought the Klan was cool till he found out they smoked the marijuanas. Mm-hmm. Note coming in from Robert, all this tech talk I think we all have this compartmentalized place where we all have some degree of hardware horror. Robert in Australia says, I just put in a solid state drive in my Mac Mini 2010 model. It's like a new machine, and it does all I need it to do. It's running an OS that's 3 updates old, but it works. And I always say no when asked if I'd like to update the OS. Good news, my iPod's working again. I replaced the battery myself. Is your iPad still out of action? It still is. It most assuredly is. It's nerve-wracking the first time, but it's a straightforward process. I found the instruction on YouTube. At least it's good for that. To tell you what, though, if they'd made the screw... This is good. If they'd made the screws any smaller, you'd be trying to rotate atoms. I played them out on my desk, and had I sneezed, that would have been that. They'd have all blown away. Steve from Georgistan asks, what's working? The stress line is working. I still don't have... You're going to have to chase down the audio problem from Skype. God only knows. May have to do the 80-mile round trip to the only place I can go to buy a fucking cable anymore and go to Beckley and sort it out that way. We're rapidly approaching the third hour of the program, and I will mention that we are $926 away from being finished with the month of February, so that I can go and find out why the fucking check engine light's on. And then, so breaking it out on a day-by-day basis, we are $224 away from being finished with this evening. Because we finished with a $156 deficit last week, which, considering where we were, is surprisingly tolerable. All right, let's find out who's on for this Moran Monday. Let's find out who's on the stress line now. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's Lady B. How you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful. So good to hear from you.
I told myself I was going to call you. I work nights. I clean buildings. I think I've told you that.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I want to call you, I can't. I'm spraying a toilet seat or something. I thought you'd like to know that. So
it's a visual. It's a visual. You're in New York.
No, I'm actually in Colorado Springs. I think I'm your second Colorado Springs.
You are. You are. You and Kevin.
Yeah, cool. I don't know him. Colorado Springs is a big city, but but when you have Tracy on and Todd and I'm just like and I'm hollering and because
the number of people who get funny looks from their coworkers while listening to this program. I had a note from our buddy Terrace in California a couple of weeks back. He said the people in the gym now think I'm completely out of my mind because I'm sitting here working out and giggling.
Because you're sitting there and you're just like, no, amen. Well, you know, I totally go black church,
that's a thing, because I'm going to jot that down. I totally go black church. I love that.
There you go.
Amen. Testify. Yes.
Oh, you get it how you live it. Well, amen. But, I just wanted to let you know. I've been listening to you. I started listening to you, Mike Malloy. And he turned me on to you. And I started listening to Mike. There was a brother I used to work in radio, too.
And I can tell. You've got the voice.
Do I have that voice?
You have the voice.
Mike, actually. One of my nicknames is Black Chick White Accent, so there you go. That should tell you everything you need to know. But I knew a guy out of Chicago, and he turned me on to Malloy. And they were with, I guess it was a Chicago Union, I think.
Oh, no. That was the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was owned and run by the UAW.
Yeah. So I can claim old school on that.
Yes, you can.
Because I've been listening.
That's two decades worth of Malloy.
Right? And Mike would go, Mike would do his thing, say something, get fired, move on, and I would try to move on with him. And I think you were guesting for him one day, and I thought, my God, what a remarkable sounding guy. And he has a southern accent. but you're wonderful. You really are. And I really enjoy listening to you.
Well, Agnes is listening to this, and she is preparing the C-clamp to put on my head as soon as I'm done with the program.
Honey, he got the thing going now. But, yeah. I mean, you deserve the props and the praise. You really do. I really enjoy I don't know how to say it. It's, God, you're just really deep. And, in between cleaning, I like to come home and smoke some of the herb. I admit to that.
Amen. Testify.
God made all the things on the earth for us to partake and smoke.
So. What is it? Well, it's somewhere in Genesis, isn't it? Behold, I give you everything that doth bear seed, every herb that doth bear seed.
That's what I'm saying, man. We read from the same Bible.
Yeah.
It's the same.
If you read it the right way, it's not crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm convinced that the patriarchs who are elevated to this, superhero status, I'm convinced that when the thing was first put together, those were cautionary tales. Those were, don't be like those assholes. Abraham down in Egypt. No, Pharaoh, that's not my wife. That's my sister. You want her?
Uh-huh.
Or Lot going, well, we're living in a cave, but we got a case of Mogan David. So, cheers, daughters.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. And you think about that, too. It's like, oh, let's get daddy drunk. And no, come on. Really? Okay. So I don't get it either. But I just wanted to say I do. I love it. You know, I love listening to you. And I'm glad I found you. And I try to give you what I can.
Don't worry about that. But, you know, we've lasted this long, and hopefully we'll just keep on going. And if we, you know, everything that comes in is deeply appreciated, and it all generally goes to the maintenance of the program. So mm-hmm. you know, if you include, you know, feeding the host along the way, and you know, keeping the lights on and all that shit, it really really does. And so,
but you
don't.
No, but I wanted to say, darling. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, please. You. This is you're the first time caller here. I get to do this all the time.
Okay. Yeah. You know. I was just saying. I got out of radio. I've been in it off and on for years. And I'm 50 years old. I just turned 50 this year. That's a trip. But the interesting thing is that I wanted to do radio, and I kind of got called away by doing too many different things, call centers and crap, and ended up ruining my resume. But I admire your persistence and perseverance, and I say that because, you know, something when you find out you're meant to do something and you want to do this more than anything, it kind of defines you, and it shouldn't. But I have a lot of jock friends who are just – you know, they're delivering for DHL and FedEx or working in convenience stores. And these people were talent.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like actors waiting tables.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But
somehow or another, we find our way into telemarketing. I've been there. I've done it. When I die, I'm going to spend some time in hell for the amount of AOL that I hustled.
Yes, 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 yes. I've given... So credit cards are, you know, convinced 85-year-old senile people to get credit cards. So
done that
I
too.
Understand.
Yeah, no, we can both feel the flames licking at our heels, can't we?
Yeah, it's soul shattering, isn't it, to know that, you know? But you do what you got to do, and we can't all live our dream. But I'm glad you're getting close to it. I'm really glad that you're doing it. And
well, there are moments there are moments like yesterday and today when it feels a lot more like nightmare than dream. But you know, that's Microsoft's fault, not mine.
And the technical difficulties you were having, man. I was like, wow.
Makes it, and I've still got to sort out the Skype thing in a little bit. It's going to make me crazy. There's a line from a Jimmy Buffett song where he sings, when that bug bites you, you live with the sting. And that's the way okay. I've always felt about radio. I loved it. From the minute it was all by happenstance. All my buddies had the good jobs at Shoney's and McDonald's and Hardee's and Orange Julius and stuff like that. You know, if you're 16 years old looking for work, that's where you want, because you can eat.
Yes.
You know, and when you come back from break and you got the munchies, that St. Louis dog at Orange Julius looks mighty fine. But my drama teacher said, I heard they're hiring like for the night shift at the radio station across the river. You'd probably be good at that. And I thought, well, okay. Yeah. And they weren't. But they told me that on down the street at the gospel station, here, that they were looking for jocks, and so I spun bad white people gospel music, and you know, let's be clear, gospel music in the black community is freaking awesome. Gospel music in the white community, no. No, it's the Happy Goodman family. It's it's the Chuck Wagon Gang. It's J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, who were not slouch musicians, but the material they had to work with was for shit.
But you know what? Y'all like unseasoned chicken breast anyway, so we just... I mean, the gospel music is like that. Black people, we put seasoning into it. You guys sing it plain, but you got to put the... You know, I mean, you're sinned on Saturday night. So when you get in there Sunday, you got to make up for all of that. You got to be like, please, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. I must drown my soul, Lord. Forgive me for Saturday. I won't do it again until next Saturday. That kind of thing.
You want to do Lady B, you want to do Wednesdays for me? That patter was pretty good.
Oh, no. Dude, I have sat here and talked to myself out of radio so many years, and then I actually had a friend turn me on to maybe audiobooks. I'm hoping to get around to doing something like that. But I was going to tell you, you were talking about your introduction to radio. Mine was even crazier. I had studied it in college, came back, and I went to a small college, and so nobody had heard of it. Got back to the Springs, turned down a job in Los Angeles. It's a long story. I was puttering around doing receptionist work, and this woman came up to me. I was working downtown, and she said, "Have you ever thought about doing radio?" I said, "Well, you know, when I was in college, I actually did some television in college." And she's like, "You should be in radio." She said, "There's a station that's hiring." And I had heard of them. They were Soft Favorites, Office Favorites, KRDO, FM, that kind of shit. And I went to apply, and there was a black receptionist at the desk. And, you know, Sister Girl acknowledged Sister Girl. It's Colorado Springs. You know, it's like you do the fist, you know, what's up. And she said, "Are you with the NAACP?" And I said,
What?
I know, right? I know, believe me. But anyway, and I said, "No, I'm here to get a job." That woman dropped everything. I said, I'm here to apply for a job. She said, "Girl, you stay right there." And she literally ran back into the, you know, went through the security door. Nice, calm, white guy with the voice of God comes out. His name was Lee Stewart. And he, you know, shakes my hand, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Lee Stewart," you know. And I'm like, "Well, you know, I'm Lady B." And, well, you know, my name. And he said, "Do you have a tape? Or, you know, you have an air check?" And I didn't have much of anything. I'd put together something. He went, he took it back, he listened to it. Then he came back, and he said, "I want you to do something for me." He set me in front of a reel-to-reel. Yes, that thing still existed when I started.
Oh, I know.
And he had me do weather and a newscast, and he said, "It's ear rack," and he pointed to his ear, and because this was in the 90s, and he said, "It's ear rack, pronounce it that way." And I just read something for him, and he hired me that day on the spot. So affirmative action in play right there. But I ended up staying with the station for about 8 years. So I'd like to think I might have gotten the door by my collar, but I think I did. You know, I had a little bit of talent. So
the tape tells all. So, you know, I think, and just based on the quality of this conversation, I'd say, yeah, that's that.
Wow.
You know it when you hear it, and the ability to simply carry on a conversation is critical. But when it comes to doing the news, not saying Iraq, really, the Iraq such as, it really does, it really does bolster one's credibility. It's like the guy who once, the broadcaster who once told me there are no cows in Moscow. That stayed with me.
Okay. Yes.
There are no cows in Moscow.
Okay.
You know, and you'd walk in the next morning and find a, and, you know, this is before email or anything, it'd be a note in your box. There are no cows in Moscow.
Yes. And when you get the AP printout, it tells you the pronunciations for the day.
I miss that pronouncer so bad.
Yes.
Because I actually studied it.
Did you? Okay.
I mean, because there are some words out there, there are some names out there that you're not going to get through if you're trying to do a rip and read.
No.
So when I was at CNN, I'd go in, the first thing I would do is take a couple of minutes and sit down and go over the pronouncer for the day. I mean, it wasn't BBC, it wasn't BBC or anything, but I just didn't want to sound like a hillbilly kid from Northwest Alabama.
But you know, that's the fascinating thing about it, because you'll slip in, you'll go into the mode. Sometimes if you're speaking to another Southerner, you'll mirror that because that's your background. Oprah Winfrey does that too.
I can't help it. I'm absolutely not in control of it.
Well, yeah, it's unconscious. You're familiar with your people. You're with your folks, people that sound like you. Yeah, well, it's, you know, blacks, what we call it, code switching. But Yeah, it's the same thing. You just slip in and out of that. But you have to know, Bob, when to turn it on and to sound like that perfect white woman speaking directly to you. Yes, you, you know. You have to do that. Uh-oh, he's clapping. He's clapping now. He's clapping
and a cowbell. Yeah, that's perfect.
You have to know how to do it. It's a little game that you play.
You remember the first of those brilliant Old Spice ads?
Yes.
Hello, ladies. Yeah, that was that's a perfect example. Just flat Midwestern broadcast standard. Mm-hmm. And after Hello, ladies, if he had said, "Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by the son of York," and I would have had no problem whatsoever with it, because it would have fit right in, you know, received English American style.
Received pronunciation. Yes, that was the, you know, your guys from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s who were on the air had to have that. The Mid-Atlantic, like you said, the received pronunciation of the Queen, and then what they call it, Mid-Atlantic, I think, for the jocks at that time.
I was told it was all based on a flat Midwestern standard.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've been told that, you know, to have no accent was the goal. You know, I'm from Colorado, and I say Colorado, and, you know, my southern cousins are, you know, Colorado, you know.
Hold on a minute. Because I have always been told that the dead giveaway for not from around here is to say Colorado as opposed to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was another word that you think of comforters on beds, comforters. There's certain words that we hit strangely here, and I'm not sure why. I mean, if we were Hispanic. Not even the American Hispanics I know, they all say Colorado, but some people are Colorado. You know, I don't know.
It's the ah versus ah, and mm-hmm. and it being his house, it's a Spanish word. You know, don't tell the maggots.
Yeah,
it would be Rado.
But
for some reason or another, Rado. And so I don't know.
Yeah, the
other one, of course, is that weird part of Missouri who thinks that last I on the end of the word is Missouri.
Missouri. Yeah.
Missouri.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I don't know. It's like Nevada. See, I was going to say it, Nevada. But they say Nevada.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the real Nevada native, you know, but we say Nevada. We have streets here called, you know, with Nevada and Colorado, you know, and all of the different street names and stuff. It's weird, but anyway, I said I was going to wrap this up. I'm really not going to hold you, but
you got all the time in the world you want.
No, Bob. You know, I just really like listening to your show. I appreciate what you do. Thank you for being insightful. Thank you for tackling certain subjects about race, and you know, you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you, Lady B. That's just as sweet as can be, and All kidding aside, I appreciate that, because, you know, from radio, it's not like when you're on the boards and the footlights are in your eyes, but you know you can see the crowd out there, you know, watching you.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that. And so, you know, the words like yours go a long way, especially on days when you would really be, when one would be strongly inclined to just kick hardware. And it's been that for about 24 hours. So, I sincerely appreciate that kindness. That just made my evening. It really, really did.
You put the work in, though. You're not just popping open the mic. You're putting the work in. It's a show to you. You treat it like a show. You prepare for the show. You do it, and I want everybody else to know. I keep saying this. I can see why people do this to you, where they say they're going to go. And then we find something else. But you said you went to law. You've been to law school, right?
Yes.
Do you have your degree?
Yes.
So you have your law degree.
Yes.
But you don't practice.
I do not.
Why was that? Was radio more compelling to you?
No. Well, I mean, it's weird. While I was practicing, I would have, you know, the original term, I think, is the actor's nightmare. where the actor's on stage, only he doesn't know what the script is, he doesn't know what role he's playing, he can't remember his lines, and he's probably naked.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had the DJ's nightmare. And I would be standing behind the board, you know those big-ass Gates boards that, with the knobs, or maybe it's highfalutin and you've got faders now. And I would push the button to make the turntable go, and it would turn, and there wouldn't be any audio.
Mm-hmm,
or I'd open the mic to do the weather, and I wouldn't have any weather there.
Yeah.
That all stopped as soon as I came back to radio. But the other part of that is that I found out fairly quickly. I went to law school, and there was this snow white-headed professor whose first lecture was terribly, terribly inspiring, and he told us about the quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., where he said, "It is possible to live greatly in the law." And we all, and all of us little 1Ls just marched out of our first day of contracts, and by God, we were going to change the world. And then a few months later, we get turned on to Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., writing about the involuntary sterilization of people, of women of color. Three generations of imbeciles is enough. And I was like, well, there went that greatly living in the law right out the fucking window.
Yeah. And
so I spent a number of years punishing people for being poor and ignorant. Because that's what the law does. The law does three things. It manages the morons, it punishes the mean ones, and above all, it protects the money.
Yep.
Those are that is the entirety of the American legal system in three sentences. And along the way, there were some people that I dealt with that I was more than happy to see go to prison.
Yeah.
You know, like the woman who shook her newborn baby to death, and when they did the autopsy, both of its little thigh bones had spiral fractures.
Jesus.
The guy who murdered his girlfriend and threw a body over a hill and wound up on America's Most Wanted or some such. I mean, there was some really nasty, nasty stuff. And so by the time I walked away, I was more than ready to walk away. And Agnes says that had I not, we would not be approaching our 26th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
I mean,
but is it a crisis of conscience? I mean, I can't think of the word, but you know what I mean? When somebody's just sitting there and they're doing something and one day they realize this is completely wrong. This is soul crushing. This is just wrong on every level, and they just up and walk away, you know?
And, well, I mean, a coal company in this state, I've seen it happen. A coal company in this state will pay lawyers $100,000 to keep an injured minor from getting a $10,000 prescription.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like everywhere I turned, it was a matter of making people's lives worse, not better. Even the people, because that's another thing about it. Nobody ever walks into a law office and says, "Hey, I'm having the best day of my life. Help me make it better."
Yeah.
They walk in and they say, "I'm having the worst day of my life. Save me." And then if you're out in private practice and you look at them and go, "Well, I know exactly how much time this is going to take. And I know how much it's going to cost," and you write down the number and you hand it to them, and they go, "Well, I ain't got that." And if you're like me, and you were exposed to the idea of Atticus Finch at an early age, of a sudden, "Well, all right, I'll work on your entailment in exchange for a bag of hickory nuts." And then and then the power bill comes, and you go, "I got a bag of hickory nuts. Screw you."
Yeah. your heart gets too big, and all of a sudden you ain't making any money. And
I remember the guy that was going to swap me a cow for representing him in his divorce. And so I said, sure. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, he was feeding it, fattening it up, and I was sitting there thinking about, you know, standing rib roast, hamburger forever, filet mignon. And then we get done. Then we get done with his divorce, and I said, "Where's the cow? Oh, cow died. Cow got sick. Cow got sick and died."
Wow. So yeah, that country lawyer stuff wasn't really going to pay the bill.
No, it's not. It's not a reality.
Mm-hmm. No, man. I mean, there's got to be a place in heaven for us somewhere, man. Because you want to do nice things for people. You want to, you know. I mean, what Jesus would really do, but at the same time, you gotta pay the bills, man. You know,
well, that's the bind that lawyers get into. You kind of get used to, they get you over the hump in law school of realizing that you're going to represent some people that, you know, you never would hang out with.
Yeah.
And people like to say, well, what about the rapist? You know, he's guilty. Well, the first thing is you don't know he's guilty. You absolutely do not know he's guilty. You might suspect it, but if he's sitting down across the table from you and says, "Oh yeah, I did it," then you as a you as a lawyer cannot go in and pretend to the court that he didn't.
Yeah.
Because your duty of candor to the court would be breached. Yeah. So you know, you get over that stuff pretty quickly, but. You know, I know people who have had 40-year careers doing divorces. I couldn't. No. Because, you know, not because you take one side or the other, but because it is the most hateful, contentious, vicious, unhappy, miserable experience that I ever had in the entire process.
Mm.
Because you got two people who used to think that they loved each other, and now they are hell bent on fucking each other in as unpleasant a way possible. And so, no matter how much you charge them up front, by the time you close the case file, you will have lost money. I mean, I think about the poor bastard, and that's how I think of him, Lady B. I think about the poor bastard that Jeff Bezos has hired for his divorce.
Wow.
And
she could, if she wanted to, take him to the cleaners, because there was no prenup.
There was no.
Sounded like a good idea 26 years ago. But.
Yeah. I mean, it blows my mind when I realize that Jeff Bezos and his wife got married the same year that Agnes and I got married.
Oh. And see, you were Jeff Bezos. You were going to be there that day, but, you know, you were late.
Yeah, right.
So you didn't get the same magic sprinkled upon you like he did.
No, I got the late, I get to stay married sprinkles, which is, you know, and at this point in time, I've got that on Jeff Bezos, you know.
Uh-huh. You do. So you are the better person for it then. So
I win.
You won.
Yeah.
You won, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, no, they got married when he was, like, selling books out of a garage or something, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So half of everything is hers. I mean, the court could force him to sell off Amazon, and she gets to name it was his.
Yeah, she could. That's true. I got this shit, you know, yes. Half. That's what she should rename it to, half.
Yeah. Wait. Half is on.
Uh-huh. Half is on. There you go.
But the thing is, no matter how much that lawyer charges him, if he charges him $25 million, he's going to lose money by the time it's over. Because he'll have to hire a small army of other lawyers doing the sub-lawyering underneath his lawyering. And then when it's over, it's like, oh shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but it won't be any fun.
No, And it's still breaking up the marriage and the kids. Jesus, kids have everything they could ever want, except their parents are no longer together.
Oh yeah,
you know.
And when you when you see the devastating effects of that, Lady B, it's heartrending. Because kids, you know, you can get them the best counseling on earth, but the fact of the matter is, everything that seemed like their worldly structure has just been shattered into a million tiny pieces. If one of the two spouses is abusive in the first place, then you double on, you pile on the additional baggage, of the fact that children tend to blame themselves. And then you've got something that you're gonna the kids are gonna spend a lifetime trying to sort out, and probably never will.
But you know what, Bob? I am the child of a divorce, and the interesting thing is, you know, the after school specials were popular in the 80s. You know, and of course they were. But for us, we lived in a complex for a while, apartment complex. And there was almost completely senior mother, single mothers. So there was a time when we thought it was kind of normal. When you get older, and later on you start to understand these things and put them in perspective. Some couples should not stay married.
Oh, absolutely! No. I'm not getting my inner Southern Baptist on and saying, you know, people should stick around. No.
Yeah. But it's just you life. You're like, God, the advantages I think that we have had. Although my father did go through struggles, I think having both parents, it would take a damn book and a drink and a joint, which I think I'm going to go do. So
that sounds like a lovely idea.
It is a wonderful idea, and if you're ever so inclined, Bob, if I'm ever in that place, I will. Start going out for you. I've got the good Colorado stuff. So, you know, we're doing rather well here. But,
If I find my way there, I'm finding you. And by the way, you got a note from Kevin. Great to hear you, Lady B. So you've got one more friend in Colorado Springs, whether you realize it or not.
Okay, that is wonderful. And I am a real person. I do exist. Sometimes I get on the chat room and I don't have time. And my wrists kind of bother me. My undergrad is in journalism, so I've been writing all my life. So, you know, after a while, that stuff kind of catches up with you. But, Bob, you are a darling, and Agnes sounds like a wonderful person. I'm glad to hear you have so much praise for your wife. Everybody is awesome, and you guys are just amazing, and I'll continue to listen, and I will try to call it. I have the day off because the city got the day off, so...
Oh yeah, it's President's 1 through 44 day.
Right, 1 through 4 because this one right now, he ain't my president.
I mean,
president of the U.S., but he ain't my president.
I'll even take a moment and think about James Buchanan. He was a fuck up, but he wasn't. But he wasn't Trump.
He wasn't a traitor either. But you guys take it easy. Have a great night. And looking forward to the next caller, and I hope to talk to you again, Bob.
Lady B, it was an absolutely delightful conversation. I hope and I feel confident it will not be our last.
It won't be, buddy. I get it together. Thank you so much.
Oh, take care. Bye now. Oh, I love conversations like that. Lady B's been corresponding for a while, but we've never actually... connected on the phone, and that was pure magic. Note coming from Scott when we were talking about pronunciations. Astronaut Neil Armstrong took his first historic step from the landing pad of the lunar moduli. I didn't know Neil Armstrong was from Appalachia. And by the way, going back a little bit, I had a note from Monique. She said, no, she didn't say y'all like unseasoned chicken breast. Whew! She don't know you right, Bob. She said, I was trying to defend you. Monique says of Lady B, she's fantastic. It feels so good to show how many intelligent people all over listen to your show. down-to-earth, intelligent people. And we aren't alone. Because the MSM, mainstream media, makes you feel that way. Yeah, it does. There was this moment earlier today where Joe Scarborough subtweeted David Sirota. Now, David Sirota is an unabashed Bernie supporter. And in subtweeting him, he said, David Sirota said, almost half the country is on the brink of literal poverty, and yet TV people like Joe NBC want you to believe America desperately needs a president with an Ivy League pedigree. And this is a quote. An Ivy League pedigree, a commitment to key centrist fiscal policies, and a history with establishment institutions. Well, that's what Scarborough subtweeted and said, desperately, you're either intellectually challenged or just engaging in Trump-styled mischaracterization. And then this. It's curious that you didn't characterize my positive review of Kamala Harris's campaign the same way. Don't be a stooge like Trump. Be better. The funny thing is that Ivy League pedigree. Is it just because Trump is such a vicious, hate-filled bag of sin that we forget that he is yet another arrival in the White House from the Ivy League? Because, see, Penn is in the Ivy League. Penn, Columbia, Princeton, Brown, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Yale. But Penn is in the Ivy League. We have an Ivy League president. And if you look back at the Ivy League presidents we've had, I don't know where the Ivy League gets its this patina of its awesome power to rule. George W. Bush, Ivy League. George H.W. Bush, Ivy League. Jimmy Carter, not Ivy League. Ronald Reagan, not Ivy League. Gerald Ford, not Ivy League. Richard Nixon, not Ivy League. Okay, so you've got Nixon, you got Ford, you got Reagan. Fuck-ups. Can't blame that on the Ivy League. But there's not a hell of a lot to... The Dulles brothers, Ivy League is hell. The idea that there's some sort of a box there that needs to be checked and, oh, our president's from the Ivy League. You know what? I would be inclined to think that maybe we'd be better off with somebody from the University of Bumfuck and just see how that works out next time. Because as our dear friend Bruce, who started Shirley's Challenge years back, pointed out, almost every idea that has been bad for the American worker has come out of the Harvard School of Business and some godforsaken MBA, which we then decided stood for more bigger assholes. And if it's not that, it's the University of Chicago and Milton fucking Friedman. So that didn't impress me. So we got about a half an hour left in the program. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it again. We got $224 to raise for this evening and a total of $926.21 to finish February. And it would be awfully nice if we could take a bite out of that. And I had a note about, you know, what the check engine light can mean. And, yeah, it can mean lots of silly things, but sometimes it means terrifyingly expensive things. When your vehicle's got 167,000 miles on it, you learn to live in fear of the terribly expensive things. But that's where we are. And a reminder, the Skype line is, and that, of course, is, you know, 304-574-8178 or Skype to Skype. It's out of commission this evening because while we sorted out one technical problem, we haven't sorted out all of them. But if you want to get through to the program, you can get through on the stress line. And that, of course, is toll-free 844-THE-HORN, 844-843-4676, 844-843-4676. And that'll get you right into the studio. So that's, you know, hopefully it won't, hopefully I'll have it sorted by tomorrow. Dr. Bill wasn't able to go today, and I felt really, really awful about that. But it is, you know, Moran Monday.
Oh, Porky.
Wait, why is there audio? God, how I hate auto-run audio.
I'm in cab.
Yeah, still there. Huh.
Senator Lindsey Graham says...
Oh, there's the idiot. Just the guy I was looking for. Because, it, like I said, it's Moran Monday. And I have a Moran Monday nomination to insist upon. And, of course, it is none other than precious Lindsey Graham. He gets two nominations. Oh, yes, he absolutely positively does. The first one comes for precious Lindsey. Down there, hunkering down under the love seat at the family ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode.
I can remember the first time our box arrived.
Oh,
go away!
This big box and it's full of food.
Jesus Christ! Is it still? Yeah, you bastards. Ah, fixed it. So, you know that over the weekend, Julius Geiser declared that it's unconstitutional to consider the workings of a constitutional amendment. I know. Makes my head hurt, too. Well, at one point, and let me get that taken care of, too. Somebody stuck a microphone in front of precious Lindsey's face and asked him about this revelation that members of the Department of Justice had. And, you know, the people who study laws. That's the department of law department, basically, of the United States government. McCabe said that there had been discussions of in the wake of finding out that Trump may very well be and probably is, I'm confident, an active asset of a hostile foreign power, to wit, Mother Russia. What would it take to get shed of him under the 25th Amendment? Personally, I think the reason they went to the 25th Amendment was because back in 2017, they realized that the Republican majorities in both houses would never, ever, 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 ever do their constitutional duty and impeach the son of a bitch, self-made, even if they had incontrovertible evidence that he was an active participant in treason against the United States. So, like I said, they had Lindsey on Face the Nation, where he said the following.
Stunning to me that one of the chief law enforcement officers of the land, the acting head of the FBI, would go on national television and say, oh, by the way, I remember a conversation with the deputy attorney general about trying to find if we could replace the president under the 25th Amendment. We're a democracy. People enforce the law, can't take it in their own hands. And was this an attempted bureaucratic coup?
No, goddammit, it wasn't. It was a bunch of lawyers sitting around talking about a law. Precious Lindsay is a lawyer, too, but has apparently forgotten that the job of a lawyer is to know what laws say. And nobody was talking about taking the law into their own hands. The 25th Amendment exists specifically for the purpose of dealing with a president who is unable to fulfill the duties of his office, whether that be from a heart attack or a stroke or because he has gone completely shirtlessly, bootlessly insane. And that's why they were talking about it. You couldn't get him through impeachment because the Republicans will not honor their oath to the Constitution. And he appeared at that point in time in late spring, mid-spring, whatever, May, June 2017. He appeared to be crazier than an outhouse rat. And he's gotten worse since then. Once again, you have to wonder what it is they've got on Lindsay. You really don't have to wonder if you go looking around. You'll find out some pretty interesting ties between Precious Lindsay and, look, Russians. Yeah. But as the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he is absolutely going to get to the bottom of this, and I do mean bottom. Yes. And we're going to find out if this was a bureaucratic coup. Well, no, Senator, it wasn't a bureaucratic coup. We were actually doing the jobs that we swore that we would do to uphold the Constitution of the United States. I really don't think Precious Lindsay wants to tangle too much with, people like Andrew McCabe. I think he would make short work of him. But that wasn't all, because there on Face the Nation, they also had to talk about our national emergency down there where all them brown people are. Yes. And one of the things that we now know is that among Julius Geiser's plans are to divert monies from the military construction budget, which, among other things, might build a school. There might be some plans out there to build a school or two. In particular, there was mention made of a middle school in Kentucky. By the way, Monique's saying, I'm going to say it, Bob. It's not Lindsay's allegedly gay, I don't care if anybody's gay, straight, whatever. Lindsay is compromised just like every person of color is compromised, just like every Caucasian is compromised. I'm looking at Joe Manchin, and he's a damn so-called Democrat. Well, the fact of the matter is, Lindsay's there was a lot of rubles went through that NRA account, went into various and sundry campaign coffers. Mm-hmm. No, Asa, I did not say that. No, I hope I didn't. At any rate, though, so this is as touching on our national emergency. You know, the one that's such an emergency it compels the president of the United States to fly off and play golf and eat omelets, right? That national emergency, the kind of national emergency where you see the maggots maybe taking off their red maggot hats to sneak in for a quick gordita at the Taco Bell.
Right.
President just declared a national emergency in regard to getting the funds for his border wall. In terms of getting those funds, though, through this emergency action, there's about $3.6 billion of it that could come from military construction efforts, including construction of a middle school in Kentucky, housing for military families, improvements for bases like Camp Pendleton and Hanscom Air Force Base. Aren't you concerned that some of these projects that were part of legislation that you helped approve in Congress are now going to possibly be cut out?
Well, the president will have to make a decision where to get the money. Let's just say for a moment that he took some money out of the military construction budget. I would say it's better for the middle school kids in Kentucky to have a secure border. We'll get them the school they need. But right now, we got a national emergency on our hands. Opioid addiction is going through the roof in this country. Thousands of Americans died last year and dying this year because we can't control the flow of drugs into this country, and all of it's coming across the border. So the dangers...
You lying sack of shit. Hydrocodone is not manufactured in Mexico or China. It's manufactured in the United States of America. Oxycontin is too. Roxycodone is as well. Those are American pharmaceutical companies that got that got all manner of millions of Americans hooked. Heroin's a different story. Heroin was a lot harder to come by back before we invaded Afghanistan. And the Taliban are a mean-ass bunch of bastards. But they had effectively shut down heroin production in Afghanistan. Shortly after we got our war on with them, however, lo and behold, the... opium lords were back in charge of the fields, and they were sending bricks of heroin that were trademarked with their own special, their own little brands from which farm they fucking came from. And then when we pulled the opioid, when we started pearl clutching hitting the fainting couch over people being hooked on opioid pills, we said, my goodness gracious, that we must take them away from them and let them jones for a while. Well, if you've got an opioid addiction, you're not really willing to jones. You'll do everything in your power not to jones, not to go into withdrawal, not to get dope sick. And so, hey, look, there's heroin on the streets. And then because the black market trade is drugs is pure 200-proof capitalism, well... hey, we can make more money if we cut the heroin with some bathtub fentanyl. And the next thing you know, you got people dropping dead all over the place because fentanyl will kill your ass quick. And so, no, all the opioids aren't coming over the border, Lindsay. All right, this is going to come out wrong. How can he say that with a straight face? Children in Kentucky don't need a middle school as much as we need some goddamn wall along the southern border when most of those children in Kentucky, many of them, will probably never go anywhere even outside the state or the Commonwealth, let alone three counties away. The number of people in Appalachia who are not well-traveled is huge. There are people in Appalachia for whom a trip to, you know, say, to Charleston is a big damn deal. And that's 50 miles away. I mean, I'm a little more traveled, but I don't get over to the post office very often in Beckley to see Boss Man Wayne because it's an 80-mile round trip. And that costs gasoline. Gasoline costs money. Jesus Christ, Lindsay. Damnation. Oh, by the way, Mike in Cascadia reminds me that the NRA's roulette wheel o' death landed in Western Michigan today, because freedom. because Wolverines, right? A mass shooting, again, in western Michigan. Kent County, Michigan. The nearest community is Cedar Springs or Solon Township, Michigan, about 30 miles north of Grand Rapids. Kent County Sheriff Michelle LaJoy Young says authorities responded Monday to a property near Cedar Springs, a community about 30 miles north of Grand Rapids. Someone discovered the bodies and called 911. Three children dead, elementary school-aged, younger. That's about as much information as they were willing to provide until they'd sorted out the details. Authorities don't believe there's a shooter at large. An investigation is ongoing. Four found dead, three of them children. And somewhere the National Ruble Association is probably crafting a press release that says if only those children had been packing heat, they'd probably be alive today. Let's see. One last thing before I go back to the phones. Linden, Alabama. Hell, I'm from Alabama. I don't even know where Linden, Alabama is. It's tiny. They've still got their own newspaper, though, the Linden Democrat Reporter. Don't let the name fool you. Goodloe Sutton is the publisher of the Democrat Reporter of Linden, Alabama. And he wrote the following editorial. And has even owned up to it. Get the hockey puck. Headline, Klan needs to ride again. Time for the Ku Klux Klan to... I think we're going to need an accent for this, don't you? Time for the Ku Klux Klan to not ride again. Democrats in the Republican Party and Democrats are plotting to raise taxes in Alabama. They do not understand how to eliminate expenses when money is needed in other areas. This socialist communist ideology sounds good to the ignorant, the uneducated, and the simple-minded people. People who do not understand the Constitution do not like to be responsible. Because I'm sure Goodloe Sutton just knows him a whole bunch of Constitution. You can tell it the way he's writing. Slaves just freed after the Civil War were not stupid. At times they borrowed their former masters' robes and horses and rode through the night to frighten some evildoer. Sometimes they had to kill one or two of them, but so what? This is the same so what used when Democrats got us into World War I and World War II. Then they got us fighting in Korea. Next, when the industrial Northeast wanted more money, they got us in the Vietnam War and now into the Middle East War. If you haven't noticed, they did away with the draft so their sons would not have to go into battle. Seems like the Klan would be welcome to raid the gated communities up there. They call them compounds now. Truly, they are the ruling class. So, somebody interviewed Goodloe Sutton. Asked to elaborate what he meant by cleaning up D.C., Sutton suggested lynching. We'll get the hemp ropes out, loop them over a tall limb, and hang all of them. It ain't calling for the lynchings of Americans. These are socialist communists we're talking about. Do you know what socialism and communism is? Then they asked him whether he saw the KKK as a racist and violent organization. He said, a violent organization? Well, they didn't kill but a few people. The Klan wasn't violent till they needed to be. And then compared the Klan to the NAACP. I'll be darned, I probably passed by Lyndon at some point in time. It's about 100 miles due west of Montgomery near the Mississippi border. Why am I not surprised? So there's you some brand new historical revisionism, courtesy of our buddy Dr. John. Thank you, Dr. John. Yes, Monique. My God, they are stupid. This dummy doesn't know his history. No, he doesn't. Here we go with this bullshit, says Monique. They worship Trump like a cult leader. Let them all move to Mother Russia. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. And by the way, how about that? The Klan that was out night riding was really freed slaves who had borrowed their master's horses and robes, ex-masters. How do you even contend with that? That's pure sick racist fantasy. Funny how he wants to hang the people who got us into them wars, but he seems to forget that wasn't Bill Clinton that started the Iraq War. Not either one of them. No, those were father and son Bush. Yeah. That's right, sickening. Let's run back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't even know you were talking to me.
Oh, hi, Tracy.
I was listening and stuff was going on, and I'm like, oh, God, he's talking. I am so sorry. How are you?
Not to worry. I am better than I was 2 hours and 52 minutes ago, because 2 hours and 52 minutes ago, a whole bunch of shit in the studio did not work. But
yeah, I heard.
Yeah, somehow Scott healed it. I don't know. Or Arnold fixed it with his mind, but... We've got almost everything back except
my mail.
Yes, exactly. But you know, we've got everything back except Skype, and hopefully that'll be back by shortly after the program went on. You get the idea, Tracy.
It's really weird. You sound I guess I don't know if it's the phone line, but you sound really weird, and maybe that's why I didn't hear you. It's muffled.
Yeah, you really don't usually call in on the stress line, so that could probably be it.
Yeah, no, I usually don't. But, since it's only a few minutes, so did you get the pictures of my knee ball? Did you check out my ball?
Yes, I did. I went, what? And then realized what was going on. Yes. Those are
the knee balls.
Those are beautiful.
I mean, and then and you saw the one with the next picture with the Abandagok loop?
Yeah, I've so got to try that. I've definitely never had that.
Well, it's really easy to make. Basically the hardest part, what I did was, like, I think I talked about this on Friday. I looked through all these recipes, and I picked the two that, that kind of complemented each other and combined them to make what I made, take the instructions, the ingredients from one, combine it with that one. So, like, the meatballs have garlic, onion, cilantro, cooked rice.
You're hurting me.
Cumin.
You're hurting me.
Cumin, chili powder, Lowry seasoning salt. It's parsley, oregano. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, Monique just said, make sure you season now, Bob. Well, I gotta ask. So you make the meatballs. Do you like pan fry them first, or do you just let them cook from jump all the way in the soup?
You dump them in the soup.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's basically, you know how you used to make, you know, you make chicken and dumplings. You dump the dough into the soup when it's and it's not even, you bring the soup to a boil, and then you lower it and simmer. And then you put the meatballs in one at a time, and then you stir them. But the broth is just, you know, onions, garlic, carrots, potatoes, and, you know the basics, cumin, parsley, you know, oregano, and all sorts of stuff, canned diced tomatoes, tomato sauce.
Ooh, it looked beautiful.
I'll send you the recipe.
Oh, please do, because that would warm me all the way down to my toenails.
Oh, exactly.
Is it spicy? I mean, is there some chili?
No.
No?
You could. I mean, I know how you like it. You know, I know how you like a little kick to yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add, you know, to your heated tongue desire. But me, you know, see, Alex and Jan like spicy, but I like spicy season. I just don't like spicy burn. So,
careful,
you know,
or we're going to start calling careful, or we're going to start calling you Karen.
Oh, you know what? Okay, you know what? Whatever. But, you know, it does have a nice kick to it. You know, like I said, you can, you know, up it, you know, and use cayenne pepper in it if you like,
individually season your own bowl, say with a few splashes of, like, you know, TJ's yuzu sauce.
Yes, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, I make, you know, you do your base with, you know, with the good seasonings and stuff like that, and if anybody wants to take it up to another level,
We were talking about this Friday night, and you were talking about, you know, the fact that you can add stuff to it at the table and everything, and it got me thinking of pho.
Mm-hmm.
I love pho.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about pho is, you know, you get the lovely broth with the meat and the flavorings and those thin Thai rice noodles, glass noodles, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they bring you that big old plate full of raw bean sprouts and cilantro and chopped up hunks of jalapeno and basil leaves.
And basil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not cilantro, it's basil. And you can sit there and just play with it and season it up to your heart's content. God, I love
that. And then you get your, and for added measure, your sriracha. Then your, is it hoisin? How do you pronounce that?
Hoisin.
Hoisin sauce. So so you make it your own. Like, and this is basically how the bandejas is. And if you want, you know, you top it with avocado, cilantro, onions, you know, some lime juice. I serve it with rice just to give it some more, you know, oomph to it, you know, just stretch it out.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, that's my first time making it. So it was not hard, the hardest. And what I did with the meatballs, because I'm like, you know, I suck at making stuff uniformed, so I got a mini ice cream scooper.
I was about to say that the very thing. Yep.
I got a mini ice cream scooper, and that's how I made all my meatballs uniform. But I also doubled the recipe because it only calls for 1 pound. It only calls for 1 pound of beef, ground beef, but I doubled it because the problem with a bandejas soup is there's never enough meatballs.
No, there never is. No.
No, there's never enough meatballs, so I doubled the meatballs. You know, I left the regular part of the recipe the same because of the broth, because you don't need a lot of broth. but I doubled the meatball recipe. So
oh man, and like with some warm, fresh tortillas to dip.
Oh, I told you the place that I normally go to, they make the tortillas, and that you can hear them in the background in the kitchen. You know, slap it back and forth.
Yeah. I'm there for. I'm going to look it up. This is going to have to happen. It'd be a good thing to do, you know, while it's still winter.
Exactly. So that's what, like I said, you know, I'll send you the recipe because it's really good, really easy. The hardest part, like I said, was just. I mean, but here's the thing. It calls for the only fresh herb, and I cheated, that I used was the cilantro. But, like, you know, it annoys me to chop stuff up. It really does. So, you know, I was supposed to chop up fresh parsley and fresh arugula. I'm like, I'm not doing all that. I'm not. I'm not. And actually, when it comes to chopping, I suck. So I usually take the path of least resistance, and like I said, but so there's nothing that it's really good to have fresh oregano. Like, well, I take that back. The one thing that I will to do fresh is basil, because I love basil. But oregano and parsley, I don't really see that big of a need to use fresh, because dry is fine. And, you know,
oh, I don't know. Whatever. I think fresh parsley has a much much better flavor profile fresh, but that's me.
Right, like I said, but then again, I'm not going there. So
it's a knife skills thing, and I get it.
I suck with my knife skills. I'm the best, and I just get pissed off and tired. And plus, we have to cut up potatoes, and I have to cut up, you know, carrots. So I'm like, if I don't have to cut everything up, that's cool. But knowing you, you'll go, you know, the fresh route because you're about to get paid. So it's like. You do that, homie. Me personally? Uh-uh.
Yeah, I do that, no doubt about it. Just because fun. I on the other hand, enjoy playing with a kitchen knife.
Well,
it's kind of like an adventure to make sure that, you know, when you start, you got four fingers and the thumbs out of the way. And when you end, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. Yay, I won!
2, 3, 4. Hey, I won. So, you know, but... And I think maybe next time when I'm not, you know, like every so often I will club herbs, but typically I don't. But I think next time maybe I'll try with the fresh herbs because it's just, you know, but it was.
Oh,
great.
It doesn't look like look like a slouch effort, that's for sure.
No, I was just proud of the fact because I've never made homemade meatballs before.
You know, I found a brand of Mexican tomato sauce. In my grocery store that I'm stuck on forever now. It's a little short can. It's not paste. It's sauce. But it's called El Pato, P-A-T-O. And it's a nice thin tomato sauce, but it's got a boatload of hot and spicy in it and some cumin, you know, the seasonings. But I can just about drink that stuff straight out of the can. It's so good.
Well, because you're an addict.
Well, yes, yes. I mean, we don't have to talk about my problem like that. But yes, it is wonderful. I mean, wonderful fresh tomato flavor, and dirt cheap. As far as I could tell, it's like, you know, 33 cents a can or something. So the last
that big pot of
chili from scratch that I made. For Bridge Day weekend, I used that in it, and I mean it brought some heat. It was fantastic.
Nice. Because with the way the last few days have been going, I didn't want to talk about horrible things because, you know, it's so easy to talk about horrible things. So I'm like, you know, let's talk about something happy.
Absolutely.
I know. Who for?
Yeah, exactly, because it was a weekend of stone cold crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just stuck on stupid shit.
And then when I got to yesterday and the studio started going sideways on me after the Windows update, I was like, fuck, I'm going to be in a bad mood for Moran Monday. But that's the nice thing. My mood improved dramatically over the course of the program, and that's what y'all do for me. And that's what makes it ever so much nicer.
Well, this is, I mean, because you do, like, was it Miss B or Lady B?
Lady B.
Well, Lady B was saying, you know, I was in and out listening to her, and it's this, you know, what you do for us. You know, because you make, you know, like I said, when I'm at my lowest, it's when I decide, if I don't call in, I listen to the show, and, you know, hearing you rant and, you know, like we say, Precious Lindsay and, you know, you fucking liars. And I'm like, okay, now I feel better. Now the world makes sense.
I mean, that just crawled all over me, that one clip, that it's unconstitutional, it's a coup to consider whether or not a president is might need a 25th Amendment intervention. They didn't say they were doing it.
Right.
They were doing the exact same thing that we've done here on this program, and that is to analyze how it works. Because we are truly in uncharted territory with the 25th Amendment, because, one, no president has ever been involuntarily removed from office using the 25th Amendment. And two, even when we've had circumstances where if we had the 25th Amendment, it would have been used, like Woodrow Wilson.
Right.
It has always applied to physical ailments, when what we're dealing with now is a rather obviously mentally incompetent, compromised individual. He's knucking futs.
And so, like I said, the medical term for it is wackadoodle.
Yeah. And you
it's
know,
the, wackadoodle.
It's one thing to say, well, you know, he's got a little depression, he's not that guy. He's around the bend and gone. He can't tell the difference between the truth and a lie. Or if he can, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. And, you know, like I said, you know, it's one thing for people who supported him when they first voted for him. And it's like, okay, I mean, I don't cut you some slack. I really don't cut anybody any slack that voted for him. But then, you know, for those that are still supporting him, those are the people I have a problem with, and those are the people that I wish the fucking Democrats would stop going after. They're gone. You know,
they were never there in the
middle,
first place.
Right. So it's like, don't bother with those people. Don't bother with the people who, you know, the economically anxious and all these other people. Just like you see, you know, go after the people, you know. You know, don't even, you know, just talk about what you're going to do. Talk about, you know, health care. Talk about the Green New Deal. Talk about all these things that make this country better. Then fuck him, you know,
yeah.
And just keep it moving.
Well,
you know,
in the name of keeping the happy going, I just got a photograph from our buddy Jimmy out in Seattle. And he said, son of Alabama mother. Oxtails and a beautiful plate of rice and greens and these gorgeous golden brown hunks of oxtail, ice cold bottle of Heineken not far away, and a bottle of some rolls and a bottle of McElhaney's Tabasco sauce. I'm going to Jimmy's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
see, and that's another thing that pisses me off. Remember when, like, stuff like short ribs and oxtails were cheap until some hipster got a hold of that shit, and now it's expensive?
Oh, I remember. I'm so old. I remember when you could not give away flank steak.
No.
You know, the stuff that you use for flank. But then fajitas come along, and you got to go consult with your banker to buy a hunk.
Right. I mean, flank steak, oxtails. We used to have oxtail soup. At least once or twice a month.
Oh, I love oxtail soup because all that collagen, you know, it thickens things, and then you've got that lovely flavor, and for a while, the local Walmart, as much as I hate them, they would actually keep beef heart and tongue and oxtails in stock, and then they quit. And you know, more's the pity, because that is so good.
It sucks. I mean, you know, but again, you know, things that make us happy, they do so much to keep them away from us. But it is, you know, but we're survivors, Bob. We'll find other things, like albondigas soup.
And I just got the recipe, so I'm good to go.
And like I said, just because you're a cook, so, you know, oh, and by the way, use cooked rice and not the raw rice. Because I did a thing, and I'm like, which is better, because some recipes call for cooked rice in the meatballs, some raw, but.
I'd go cooked rice, definitely.
Right.
Because one of the things is if you use uncooked rice, you're going to soak up a hell of a lot of everything that you're trying to make soup out of. So you'd probably have to double the volume of your liquid.
And on top of the fact that you have to cook it longer to make the, you know, to make sure the rice is done. So like I said, you know, look at both recipes, and, you know, like I said, you're a cook. So you'll see, you know. And the only other thing that I did, because one recipe says add the carrots and the potatoes later. I, you know, the other one said together. So I did it together, and it just makes it easier. So like I said, but you're enough of a cook that you can glean all the good stuff from each recipe and go from there.
Oh, I think it's going to be yummy. I've got that and the chicken fall to do now that Suman turned me on to, and I can't wait to try that too. That's gonna be a spicy burning season in hell.
I know it's colder than a brass bra back there. So yeah, I know you need something. You know, to warm the cockles of your heart.
Exactly. You gotta warm the core. Tracy, you have a lovely evening, dear, and thanks for the recipe. Thanks
too,
for the photo,
darling.
And I'm inspired. We'll talk soon.
All right, baby. Bye.
Bye. And so we'll close the program with Tracy, a little bit over time, but that's okay, too. And again, big thanks to Bob for the recovery of the recording from Friday on the front porch. Thanks again, Bob. I really appreciate it. That saved us. Because people were like, Bob, were you not on? Yeah, I was on, but something screwed up, and the something was probably me. And that was just the front end of a bunch of rolling disasters. But no disasters now. We will have a program file for this evening. The downside is that we're still stuck at $926.21 to finish the week. And, you know, if we can finish by Thursday, that means we get a full week of fundraising free radio. And so we'll cross our fingers and hope for the best. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you very kindly to Steve and Ms. Karen, Little Cletus and Little Twiggy for helping us out this evening. Thank you very kindly to all of you who keep the program going and to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this ongoing experiment in conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks in the chat room to Sparky and Steve and Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa for HeadOn.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.